Poet Suji Kwak Kim remembers when her nursery school teacher told her Korean immigrant mother to speak more English in their upstate New York home. That way Suji could learn to speak English, which she did. She also lost her knowledge of Korean. Regaining it became a project when she was in college at Yale and later on a fellowship in Seoul, also regaining a connection to Korea. Much of her poetry is about Korea, about war, bloodshed, division.
Occupation. The soldiers are hard at work building a house. They hammer bodies into the earth like nails. They paint the walls with blood. Inside, the doors stay shut, locked as eyes of stone. Inside, the stairs feel slippery. All flights go down. There's no floor, only a roof where ash is falling. Dark snow, human snow, thickly, mutely falling. Come, they say. This house will last forever. You must occupy it. And you, and you, and you, and you. Come, they say. There is room for everyone.
Occupation is one of the poems in Notes from the Divided Country, Suji Kwak Kim's first book. The poet Yusef Komunyakaa chose it for the Walt Whitman Award, given to an outstanding young poet. Suji Kwak Kim's poems reflect a Korean heritage passed on to her in the unlikely environs of Poughkeepsie, New York. That's where her father, a doctor, found work and took the family. This was in the 1970s, just as Korean immigration to the U.S. really started to take off.
This was definitely the very beginning of it. And especially since this was upstate New York, this was not like growing up in New York City or in Los Angeles, where there are really large Korean American and Asian American communities. But at the same time, I think because of that particular isolation, my parents were even more eager to make sure that the stories about their relatives who didn't survive either the Japanese occupation of Korea or the Korean War, they were even more determined that I know about that.
Well, some of those stories, it seems, are the substance, the stories behind poems that you've now written, and I wonder if you could read one of them for us.
Of course, I'd love to. This is a poem called Borderlands, and it's dedicated to my grandmother. Now, the context of this poem is that, of course, the Japanese occupied Korea starting in 1910 in a formal way, but they actually had arrived in Korea in 1905. And the Japanese occupation went on until really the American liberation in 1945. And of course, it was quite brutal. So this comes out of that particular context, and it's called Borderlands. Crush my eyes, bitter grapes, wring out the wine of seeing. We try to escape across the frozen Yalu to Qiantao or Harbin. I saw the Japanese soldiers shoot. I saw men and women from our village blown to hieroglyphs of viscera, engraving nothing. River of Never. River, the opposite of Letha, the opposite of forgetting, dividing those who lived from those who were killed. Why did I survive? I wondered at each body, with its separate skin, its separate suffering. My childhood friend lay on the boot-blackened ice. I touched his face with disbelief. I tried to hold his hand, but he snatched it away, as if he were ashamed of dying. I grown large, with everything it saw. Everyone who disappeared, pupil of suffering. Lonely O, blank of an eye, rolled back into its socket. I was afraid to see you. Last thoughts, last dreams, crawling through his skull like worms.
How do you summon these horrific battlefield images, which, while obviously, the experience of your extended family seem, I assume, a world apart from Poughkeepsie, New York in the 1970s and 80s.
Very much so. In fact, that's interesting. The whole epigraph to that section is one that I took from Brecht, and it has something to do with what I believe is very important in terms of the responsibility that one has in terms of using the imagination as a means of compassion and understanding things that one couldn't have experienced. The Brecht epigraph is, "It is the crudest form of empathy when the actor simply asks, 'What should I be like if this or that were to happen to me?'" And of course, in that epigraph, in the context, he's critiquing this sort of received idea of empathy, that it works merely through the emotions rather than also through the intellect.
Then you have some poems, obviously inspired by the time you've spent in Seoul, yourself in South Korea. And there's a poem, "Montage with Neon, Bok Choy, Gasoline, Lovers and Strangers," which includes, for me, the very remarkable line, "I can't help feeling giddy. I'm drunk on neon, drunk on air, drunk on seeing what was made almost from nothing. If anything's here, it was built out of ash, out of the skull rubble of war." Seoul was a remarkable place to finally see, I assume, after hearing all these stories of Korea all your life.
It was the most remarkable thing to see how vibrant and thriving the contemporary city is. I mean, especially after hearing all these stories first, it was amazingly moving that people recovered in such a astonishing way.
Suji Kwa Kim, before you go, perhaps you can read something else to us. Picking up with more of the montage with neon, bok choy, gasoline, lovers, and strangers.
Okay. "I wonder about the grocer who calls me daughter because I look like her, for she has long since left home. Bus drivers hurtling past in a blast of diesel fumes, dispatchers shouting the names of stations, lovers so tender with each other I hold my breath. Men with hair the color of scallion root, playing paduk or go. Old enough to have stolen overcoats and shoes from corpses in the war. Whose spirits could not be broken. Whose every breath seems to say, after things turned to their worst, we began again. But may you never see what we saw. May you never do what we've done. May you never remember, and may you never forget."
Suji Kwa Kim, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much.
Suji Kwa Kim, Korean-American poet and author of the collection Notes from the Divided Country.